Feng Shui is on the top of the lips in many Chinese homes. But what is it? How can we use it in our homes? What's it supposed to do? How do we make it work? All these questions will be answered in this podcast, Feng Shui Tips on Making Your Home More Prosperous for Sale.
Welcome to Real Estate Right, where we talk to top experts on how to buy, sell, rent and invest right. Your hosts are Grant Kennedy and Sue Langada.
Real Estate Right is here to stay. And if you like this podcast, you should subscribe on your favourite podcast platform. Like us on Facebook or Instagram, or just say hey every now and again. But more importantly, tell your friends, family and work colleagues that you're onto a good thing. Now, on with the show. Edgar Lok Ting Yung is a feng shui master and Chinese astrology expert. Edgar brings passion and experience from years of training under traditional feng shui masters. He has been using traditional Chinese feng shui and Chinese astrology to assist local and international clients since 2000. Welcome, Edgar. How are you?
Thank you. Good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Anyway, I've always loved the mystic arts. I'm a bit of an astrology junkie and numerology and all those sort of things. And I have a little bit of knowledge of a feng shui up my sleeve. So
right.
I was wondering what got you interested in feng shui?
Wow, that's a long, long, long time ago, long story.
Yes.
Because I actually born in China.
Yes.
In southern China.
Yes.
Village of southern China. In southern China,
yeah.
You know, every places, everywhere, they will talk about feng shui.
Yeah.
Particularly when parents are getting into their 60s, 70s, right?
Yes.
The parent will actually ask the children to find them a burial spot, feng shui burial spot.
Yes.
So feng shui, not only for the living, for us, you know, for a home or for office, but it also for the in the past and the people who pass away and we bury on a good spot.
Yes.
And that will bring good luck to the offspring.
Oh, wow.
That is the biggest or the main idea of feng shui.
Oh, wow.
My great-grandfather's grave
need
to be relocated due to some, you know, they want some land for, you know, for growing crops.
Yes.
So my father actually secretly hired a feng shui consultant to find a new burial spot for my great-grandfather.
Yes.
The really, really good feng shui master, they were able to tell you after the burial, what's the family claim we're gonna happen.
Yes.
That is the, you know, genuine feng shui, traditional feng shui. And that master at that time, well, I actually still have the record from that master and say, after this burial, the next year, there will be two child born into this family.
Yeah. Two. So twins or separate, different times a year?
Separate, you know, two.
Yeah.
So the burial was actually happened in 1973.
Yes.
Yeah. And then in 1974, my brother was born. Younger brother was born.
Yeah.
74. Yeah. And then my uncle, my auntie, like my father's brother.
Yes.
They had one son born as well.
Oh, so that was true. And you believe.
That's true. And the interesting thing was that the master would say, oh, after these two were born, because this burial place, because of this burial grave, they will produce one government official.
Ah.
Or maybe doing a good business.
Yes.
Like become a business owner.
Yeah.
Right. But at the time, you know, during the communists, there's not allow you to do your own business. You know, they all government owned, right?
Yeah, all government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So then now it actually come true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the prediction, or the burial, can bring good luck to the family.
Yes.
Right. So this concept actually was written down in the Book of Burial.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called the classical feng shui text called Book of Burial.
Yes.
The Book of Burial was written in, I think, the 3rd century.
Yeah.
So about 1,000...
Long time ago.
700 years ago, a long time ago.
Yeah.
They was telling you what is feng shui.
Yes.
And why this burial will work.
Yeah.
That explains that. But nowadays, people thinking feng shui is just hanging a few wind charms, put a few corn, put a lion, put a full dog.
Yes.
That is not really a traditional feng shui.
Oh, okay.
That is more the, you know, the new age feng shui.
Yes. But the traditional is very much different.
Yeah, the traditional feng shui was actually the direction, the facing direction, mm-hmm. and the position of the arrangement inside the house.
Yes.
Right. For example, if in the past, like if you're not sure you've been to China or Beijing, if you've been to that, there's some places called Hutong. Hutong is in Beijing, but they now, you know, demolished a lot of Hutong.
Yes.
And in Hutong, they have courtyard house. And all those houses, there's no toilet inside the house, mm-hmm. no kitchen inside the house, right? No shower inside the house. They're all outside.
No water inside the house.
No, there's water inside the house. It's only from the rain from the heaven come down into the middle of the courtyard.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the exit point, the exit water, you know, where the water going out.
Yeah.
That is important. Yes. That is feng shui.
That's feng shui. Yeah.
You know, that is feng shui. That is traditional feng shui.
Yes.
So nowadays we have, you know, living in a home, a modern home with stove, kitchen, toilet, fridge, washing machine, everything that involve water, right?
Yes.
And energy, qi.
Yeah.
Qi, energy, you know, wind, feng shui. Feng shui is translated as wind and water.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. The literary translation is wind. Feng is wind.
Yes.
Or air. You know, we can say air. Or shui is water.
Okay.
So wind and water.
Yes.
That's the Chinese translation, mm-hmm. literary translation.
Yeah.
And if we think about it, in a bigger scale or bigger sense, mm-hmm. without wind or air or water,
yes.
we all die.
Yeah. So we need it.
But if it's too much wind or air, we all die as well.
Yeah. It has to be balance.
Right? It has to be balanced. Yeah. Okay. So there's two ways of balance.
Yeah.
Always yin and yang, right?
Yes.
Two ways. Always yin and yang. So if we look at the nature, you know, too much water or too little water, too much wind, too little wind, also not helping.
No.
And then in a smaller scale, in a home, in the home we live.
Yes.
If the wind coming into the house incorrectly.
Yes.
Let's say the door location opened incorrectly.
Yes.
Then we'll bring in not good or undesired wind into the home.
Mm.
That means brings in the not correct
wind
energy, the incorrect energy to the home.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if your stove or kitchen located in an incorrect spot, that will activate incorrect energy too.
Mm.
So in feng shui, it's more the direction and position. So how do you, you know, work out the position of a stove? Where should the stove be? Where should the toilet be?
Yeah.
Where should be in the fridge located? These all depend on the facing direction of a home.
Yes. Now, it's just a question of, okay, if we can't change the direction of our home and we can't change where our toilets and kitchens are, how can we make changes to make the home more prosperous when we want to put our house for sale? Because there's ways to correct these things, isn't there?
Yes. That's a very good question. When the house, the facing is set, right?
Yes.
Or the door opening is fixed.
Yes.
There's not much thing we can do. What we can do is to manipulate the qi.
Yes.
Manipulate the energy.
That's what we want.
Yes. Okay. So that's the main thing, you know. Manipulating the energy or the qi is to change the incoming qi, to change the direction of the qi into the house.
Yes.
Okay. So, for example, if let's say a door, a main door is not open in the correct sector, sometimes if you know, there's a big space of foyer, then actually we can use a partition.
Mm-hmm.
To redirect the energy.
Okay. So, yeah.
But, you know, for houses for sale, you know, if you put a partition there, then maybe look.
Right? Yes. So we don't want to.
So in that case, then we can activate a few things, actually. Activate a few things to help the sales. In feng shui, the inside and outside of the house was linked through the door, the main door.
Yeah.
Okay, so every time we go out, we come through the door.
Yes.
Every time we come home, we come through a door. Okay, so the door is the most important feng shui pieces in our home, the door location.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, it's not the, not your bedroom.
No. You know.
Well, bedroom also important, but the most important is the doorway.
Yeah.
So to sell the house is to sell to someone else, right? So the energy is coming from outside.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So we want to activate what outside of the house to bring in the prosperity.
Yes.
Yeah. If we activate inside the house, right, we'll bring in the owner prosperity.
Yeah.
Like maybe for work.
Yeah.
Right. But outside, we want to bring prosperity or the qi in.
Yeah.
And for sales of a home, you just need to bring one person in.
Yes. Or two if you want them to fight over it.
Or maybe three.
Yeah. Yeah. But you need to invite their qi into the home.
That's right. So the first thing is the outside of the main door.
Mm-hmm.
We want the outside of the main door to have a good feel.
Mm-hmm.
Good feeling. People come in, have a good feeling. Maybe you have plants there. If there's a lot of bush, you can trim it down.
Yes.
Right. And then you can put a water feature.
Mm-hmm.
You can put a water feature. Because water is the mother of the qi. The son of the qi.
Yeah.
Qi energy.
Yes.
Qi energy is the mother to water.
Yes.
Okay. That's in the classical feng shui text. Yeah. So with water there, you will invite the qi into the house.
Mm-hmm. That works.
So the position is also very important because we talk about the position, the direction, right? So there's three area.
Yeah.
We're able to put a water feature.
Mm-hmm.
In front of the house. One is direct in front of the entrance, the door, direct in front, but has to be about 3 meters away.
Yes.
But this water feature cannot be very tall. The maximum, I would say, about 70 centimeter
tall. Yeah.
Yep. That, and then you have water like flowing into the house.
Yeah.
If you see some of the water feature, they will flow in every direction, right?
Yes.
But this one is more flowing into the house.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing we can activate it. Yeah. Yeah. And then make sure the path to the house.
Yes.
The walking path to the house, to the main entrance, very clear.
Yes.
Very clean and looks good, right?
Mm-hmm.
That will help. And then there's another two direction, another two area we can put a water features as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where are they?
Okay. So it actually, for this one, you don't need to look at the direction facing of the house.
Yeah.
You don't need, because I work it out for every direction already.
Yeah.
that is in about 45 degrees to the left or to the right.
Okay.
Of the door.
Yeah.
So where you measure will be the center of the door.
Yes.
You know, if you have the door like that.
Yeah.
Measure in the center.
Yeah.
Draw a line at about 45 degrees.
Yes.
To outside. Left or right.
Mm-hmm.
Or both. You can have both.
Yeah.
And then there's three water features there, right? If we count the center one, the left one, the right one, then you have three direction of people coming in to inspect your place.
Nice. Yeah.
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 Or three people they will come to complete for your home.
Yes. And that's what you want.
They will make sure you sell your house at a better price.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
in feng shui, water means wealth. Okay.
Yes.
Water is wealth. Water is wealth. In 45 degrees is the most powerful energy.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we're getting less, and then getting
okay.
No good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it can't be zero. It has to be 45 or.
Yeah. Like, no. 45, 46, 44, 43, 48.
Yeah.
Okay. In that range. Still okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we're doing this, without on site, right?
Yes.
If it's on site, we need to measure, like use the rod or thread strength to measure that degree exactly.
Sounds good. So we've talked about, the activation point is the door. A lot of people talk about mirrors and how they work within the house. From my understanding, mirrors direct the energy in different places. So the ideal is not to have a mirror right in front of your door, because what that does is it directs the energy straight back out the door, doesn't it?
Right. Okay. So mirror can be used to make the place a bit brighter. If it's a like a darker place in the house, then we can hang a mirror to reflect the light in. But in hanging up the mirror, is you're right, not facing to the door, any door, like facing the main door or your bedroom door. When you open the bedroom door, you don't want to see a mirror. Or when you open the main door, you don't want to see a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of internet feng shui. They say, oh, mirror cannot face to the bed, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. But actually, it depends on for who.
Okay.
Okay, it depends on for who. If for married couple, then better don't put a mirror in the room to face the bed. However, if for a single lady or a single man, a mirror actually is a good thing to have in a room.
Why is that?
Because mirror will make the place more active.
Okay.
And then this lady, single lady, or this single man will go out a bit more. So easy meet the other half.
Yes.
So if for a couple, then one of them, either one, they will go out more. So that will have create some problems, some issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
So best not to have mirrored robes in your bedroom, because especially if there's two people, if there's one person, that's fine, but not in a main bedroom.
No, that's correct. Yeah. Yes. So
mirror
you can hang in a darker place to attract.
Yes.
Reflect. I think reflect is the word. Reflect. more light into the area.
Yeah.
And also mirror can also put in the green dragon sign of the house.
Okay,
so that's another feng shui terms. Okay.
Feng shui term,
green dragon. So in feng shui, there's actually describe a direction or an area. Green dragon and white tiger. Okay. Green dragon and white tiger.
Okay. Yeah.
So if we're standing in front of the door, the main door, and looking out to the street.
Yes.
The left side is called a green dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And the white side is called a white tiger.
Yeah.
Okay. Generally, we want the green dragon to be more active. more active, the green dragon more. So you can hang mirror on the left side, the green dragon side, to attract more light and make the area a bit more active. So,
and then the white tiger is more, it's more quiet. It's not so active.
Exactly.
Is that right?
White tiger, we want to be a bit more quieter, a bit more quieter.
Yes.
Like if someone building a house, building a home, then ideally the garage to come in will be located on the green dragon side, not on the white tiger side. So the white tiger side will always active.
And
white tiger size is actually, the element is fire. Fire element. So if the
fire,
same as when you become very fiery, when you punch someone, which hand you use?
Angry. Use your right side.
Your right side. Yeah, it's fire. Fiery.
Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The right side in a home, it also represents female.
Yeah.
So if the right,
because we're always we're fiery, aren't we?
So the females are, if they're more active, then in the home the female will be a bit more dominant. So we want a balance as well.
Gotta get the balance. Gotta get the balance.
Balance.
All that balance. Yeah. So, when it comes to beds in a bedroom. I've always been told with feng shui that you make sure that you, when you're lying down in bed, you're looking at the door. Is that right?
That's correct. So when you're lying down, you can see the door.
So if the door, is sort of behind you, that's bad. You should, you know, you'll always have uncomfortable sleeping, because if someone comes through the door, you can't see them. You've got to turn around to see them. But if you're looking at the door, at least you can see them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So would that help you make your house more prosperous if the beds are looking at the door?
Yes. However, if, you know, some of the design houses, if you set the bed, you can see the door, but maybe you have to place that bed against a window, which is not ideal. So we don't want the bed to against a window.
Yeah.
Okay. So the
because that's like cold air coming.
Exactly.
Behind you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So ideally is we set the bed against a solid wall, no window, solid wall, and if we can see the door, then that's the best configuration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one solid wall to make sure you can see it. So solid wall is more important than seeing the door.
Yes.
To make it more prosperous.
Yeah. Prosperous. And if seeing the door is, we don't want the door to open to the bed as well.
Yeah. You don't want to hit the bed.
You don't want to hit the bed. So the door will be on the side of the bed.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you get it. Yeah.
I get that.
You get that. Yeah. On the internet, a lot of article talk about, you know, you don't face the bed to a door. That's called a coffin position.
Oh,
have you heard of that? Have you seen that?
So it's a dead position.
A coffin position.
So it's like you're dead.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
But that's so incorrect. That's a misconcept. It's a myth. So they will say when you sleep, the foot pointing to the door is called a coffin position, because all the coffin, all the, you know, deceased, the leg is pointing outside.
Outward.
Yeah. But it's actually it's incorrect. Because I told you I was born in southern China in a small village.
Yes.
When the elderly passed away, their feet was pointing outside of the house, but they're not putting in a room. They're actually putting in outside.
Yeah.
So that is actually not, you know, when we sleep, the foot pointing to the door is not called a coffin position. Yeah, no.
So if it was pointing outside, it would be.
So if someone, no, when someone passed away in, where I was born, when someone passed away, they were move them out from the room and put them in the building is more like a courtyard type. So we have a very big spaces outside and just leave outside and the feet is pointing out to outside. It's not never put in the room, never leave.
Oh. You don't leave a body in the room.
No, not never. So they will move out. Yeah.
Okay. So it's the terminology is not quite.
Not quite right. Yeah. So inside a room, there's never a coffin position.
Okay.
So remember, we talk about the qi is the mother of water.
Yes.
When we open the door, there's qi coming in.
Yes.
So when you set the bed, when we lie down, you can see the door. We can see the qi come in. We can see the money come in.
Yeah. And that's what we want.
Yes. That is the way, you know, we can place the bed correctly.
Yes.
To attract more wealth. And when you sleep better, like had a solid wall against us, like a solid wall against. So we sleep well, we think better, you know, more smarter. Basically.
Yeah. Oh, good. Mm. Yeah. Actually, talking about water, the other thing that I used to hear, well, I used to tell people was always keep your toilet lids down because that means you're keeping the water in the house. You're not letting the water escape down the drain or the qi. Is that right?
Well, it really depends on the position or the sector of the toilet in your house.
Okay.
If it's in a good sector, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
If it's in a good sector, that means the activation will help.
Yes.
If it's in a very bad sector, then ideally we cover the lid.
Yes.
But the point is, when you cover the lid, the flush, the strength, the energy is much stronger when you're doing a flush, right?
Yeah.
So actually it's not very minimal help, not that much.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So because we are activating the water. I get that.
Yeah.
Well, see, I used to say it because I had boys and I say, if you close the lid, it keeps the money in the house. That's what I'd say. Well, gave them an excuse to close the lid.
Yeah,
anyway.
For the ladies.
That's true. Yeah. So how about our kitchens? How can we decorate our kitchens to bring good luck to the home?
Right, okay. So kitchen as say it, you know, for a general person and a feng shui person is different. Because for us, we would look at where it is, right?
Yes.
For, you know, general people, they would say, oh, how it look.
Yes.
So it's different.
It's different.
In feng shui, a no-no for a kitchen is don't use bright red color.
No, don't use bright red.
Don't use bright red. Yeah. I've seen a couple of houses use
red. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I think you've seen that as well.
Yeah.
And I actually asked them, because kitchen is fire to start with, and red color is fire, it makes you very fiery.
Yes. Yes.
And I say, do you argue a lot? And they say, yes, every time we argue in the kitchen right here.
Yes. I wonder why.
Yeah. So actually they changed the color. They changed the color as well to another color, to a more like neutral color.
Yes.
And they become a bit more smooth, not much of argument there.
Yeah.
So
nice.
So color is a stimulation, you know, that you can say it's feng shui, you can say it's psychology, you can say it's color, color therapy. But in feng shui, we don't want very drastic change of the color.
Yeah.
Like most of the modern home, they like a feature wall, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Some people say it's nice. Some people say it's fine. But from a feng shui point of view, a feature wall, you know, is not really good.
No.
Because it changed very drastically. Yeah. I actually seen one house, you know, a few years back. They they had a feature wall, red color, for a boy.
Yeah. Oh.
And they move in for about a few months, and the friend refer me to them and ask, you know, the boy was okay, but after some time they develop very active ADHD type of action.
Yes,
that feature wall is facing the boy's bed, so every time go to bed, wake up, you know, go into the room, you see the red color. So red is fire. And in our body, the eye is also fire as well. So fire, you know, become very fiery, angry, jumping around. So they actually paint it into different color. And then slowly makes a difference. The boy settled down. So in kitchen, red is a no-no. And darker, black color also no.
A lot of people like to put trendy looking toasters and kettles in a bright red or just a feature color, and try and coordinate, like, even the tea towels and stuff like that in the same color as the appliances, the small appliances.
Right. That's fine. What I mean is, like, they paint the whole wall.
Paint. Or a splash pack, like a color splash pack.
Yeah. Red. On back of the stove. And then the cabinet, red. But if you have one red kettle, red color toaster, couple of red towel, as long as you don't have that over 20% of the whole area.
Okay, it's fine.
It's fine. But if that color would blend into the environment, blend into the kitchen.
Blending is better, not popping.
Yeah, not to popping up, you know.
Not popping
like,
up.
You know, not the whole... When you go into kitchen, you know, maybe the color will be the first thing you will see, you know, draws your attention.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's too much.
For sure, some people will like, you know, red, but
it's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. Yeah. And for a longer term, in feng shui, the red in the kitchen, it may easily, you know, have, you know, when you're cooking, will be easily burn the food, or even maybe have a fire hazard as well. So fire,
don't breed fire with more fire.
That's the idea.
We'll have a little ad break now and come back with more of Edgar and his feng shui tips. So we're back with Edgar from Opting Feng Shui. Going back to what we should be doing to making our houses more prosperous when we're putting it up for sale, what are the things that we should remove from our home to keep the good luck in?
Decluttering, like clear the place, particularly the center of the house.
Okay. Yeah.
The center of the house represents the heart of the house, as well as the hearts of people in the house. Okay. So when someone come in to inspect the house and the center is very spacious, they will feel very relaxed.
Yes.
And they will straight away, you know, falling in love with the house.
That's what you want.
That's what you want, right? So center, you know, decluttering the center, move the bigger object away. You know, we don't want to put object with some very ugly look or very scary look.
Yes.
Or even painting a very scary look as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some people put funny looking paintings up, that's for sure. Yes.
Yes, yes.
Or they have their erotic pictures or partially erotic pictures.
I don't think that's
ideal.
That's a very, no, that's a not. Because feng shui also not just the you know, we're talking about direction, position, but it also had the feeling and the look as well, the energy, how the energy bring you. You know, a painting will create some energy.
Yes.
On people, you know, always looking at it.
Yes.
Three weeks ago, I was going to do a bit of feng shui program with Hilsey and Ed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he had a savage hat of himself putting on the desk.
Yes.
And that savage hat was had, you know, if you go to my website, you can see it. It's very ugly.
Yeah.
But when you're seeing something very ugly, the energy will kind of resonate with you.
Okay.
So on that savage head, on the cheek, there's a very ugly there.
Yes.
And I asked, you know, Hughesy, how long he had that?
Yeah.
You know, the head. Yeah. Is that about 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had actually at the point that in the cheeks had some, you know, skin issue as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you listen to that. Objects, that I'm telling you, that is the object will attract, you know, something and will manifest out from our thinking or from our action.
Mm.
So that's why we don't want something very scary, very ugly, very intimidating.
Yes.
To have that put somewhere.
Yes.
In a very prominent area.
Mm. So keep it simple. Yeah. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Yeah. But I think most of the house I go to have a look is go through the decoration of a designer.
Yes.
Remove a lot of big object.
Yes.
Already.
Yeah.
So they put their very simple furniture there. So the energy or the chi flows better.
Yes. Yeah. Like the stylists these days have got quite a good knack of doing it properly. I'd say probably 70% of the homes I go through are styled. So what is considered to be a lucky colour in feng shui?
Lucky colour?
A lucky colour. Is there a lucky colour?
Actually, no. There's no. Colour actually is more personal preference.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very personal preference. But we don't want that to be too drastic, as I explained earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone's lucky color doesn't mean it's your lucky color.
Yeah.
Right.
So hopefully the people who want to buy your home has the same lucky color as you, so that they love your house, essentially.
Yeah. But most of the people, they buy their house, they may be doing repaint the house or do something.
Yeah.
change to the house as well.
Yeah.
So your thing is good, not necessarily good for someone else.
Okay. So that's why it's best to keep things neutral.
Neutral, yeah. Neutral, not too drastic. And then leave a door open for the new owner to change to what they want, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in another layer of feng shui is different owner move into same house. Their luck will be different as well, because there's another layer of your personal sector. We call it a personal sector. Let's say, I don't know what year you're born, but your birth year will resonate with the sector of the house.
Yes.
As well. Yeah.
So, and if you've got many people in the house, then there's obviously going to be different sectors for each person that will resonate better.
That's right. Yeah. Or then there's a feng shui consultant to come in to help them how to bring all that together and to activate, you know. Because in feng shui, there's four main areas we want to achieve.
Yeah.
Four main area. Okay. In the proper feng shui. But we're talking about feng shui to sell and a house to sell. But in a traditional feng shui point of view, there's four main areas we want to achieve. The first area is offspring, fertility, produce, production. Oh. Second is the wealth. You will have a good wealth after you move into the house or after your ancestor bury on the spot and then bring good luck to the to the descendants.
Yes.
The career is your work.
Okay.
And then longevity will be including health as well.
Yes.
So there's four main areas we want to achieve in traditional feng shui. Here, we're talking about selling a house. It's the wealth sector.
The wealth sector. Yeah. So we need to activate
the wealth. So we want to activate the wealth for that occupants.
Yes.
Or the vendor, yes, or the seller. Is that? So if we know the birth year of the seller,
yes,
then it will be at another level to it, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we can. Yeah.
So that's where we need to use your services and get you in, don't we?
Well, it's, yeah. If people interested and they definitely, their price will pay off my service fee. You know, they will sell higher.
Yes.
So if we know the birth year of the person, then we can create a configuration to activate the wealth of that person.
Okay.
And then create the, bring the energy water flow in, yes, money flow in to the house. And that's a two thing activated. One is for the person, one is for the house.
Yeah.
One by one added up.
Yes.
In feng shui, just the more the better.
Yeah.
It's not like, you put, like as I say earlier, new age feng shui, putting a wind charm, put a few coins.
Yeah.
Put a three-legged tort.
Yes.
Then we'll bring you good feng shui. It's different, so different. So actually, it's very difficult. Actually, very difficult to talk about how to activate. I can just give you a big picture, a broad
range. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's all good. Picture. So what are some of the contemporary tips that are based on feng shui principles?
Well, I think most of them, they are blending with feng shui principles as well. Like, you know, we talked about the stylus earlier.
Yes.
Coming in to help you decorate the home.
Yes.
They actually will create a easy moving path for people to come in.
Yes.
Right? And that is matching the feng shui principle.
Okay.
The other thing is the feng shui, we talk about yin and yang, right? Yin and yang. So the yang is the part we can see, which is like the furniture, the placement of the bed, which we can see. But there's a yin part. The yin part is the energy part underneath, right? If really this is the correct energy distribute in the house. Yeah. So I has no objection to, you know, put the thing in, looks good. But one thing we need to be very careful is the water feature inside the house.
Yes.
The water feature, we cannot place it anywhere as we wish, because the water feature, they create very strong energy.
Yeah.
If they are incorrectly placed, then will bring very bad consequences.
So when you put a water feature in the house, are you talking things like a vase with the flowers, or are you talking about moving water?
Moving water, always moving water, like a fish tank.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, a fish tank or a water feature with a Buddha or with a ball rolling, you know, all that.
So that.
Only those activation object, they create very strong energy.
Yes.
Yeah, so we... I would say that part we don't place at will.
Yeah.
Don't place the water at will.
Be very careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be very careful. And even outside as well.
Yes.
Like we talk about the 45 degrees.
Yes.
Is they will never go wrong, because I work it out.
Yes.
They never go wrong for any house.
Yeah.
I can share you in another story. Yeah. Is one of my students, she did one console and in Sydney.
Yeah.
So the client, they had a water feature in at the incorrect spot.
Yes.
For so many years. And that's why a lot of, you know, things happen.
Yes.
Like lost money, you know, health issues.
Yeah.
And then accident, things like that. So internally, no matter how you place the furniture, it's not that damaging.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for a water feature, like moving water feature, a fish tank, aquarium,
yeah,
then we have to be very careful.
Okay. So what should every home for sale have to bring in its prosperity? Is there any one particular thing that we should all have?
Well, there's two answers here. I can
Okay, two answers.
For New Age feng shui, they would tell you, yes, you have to bring in some good luck charm or whatever.
Yes.
But in the traditional feng shui, actually there's so many configurations you can do to bring prosperity. The configuration, I'm not sure you heard of five ghosts carry wealth.
Five
ghosts carry wealth. There's a sector called five ghosts in feng shui. And if you can activate it, you can tap into the energy, they will keep carrying the wealth for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one thing. And the other configuration is called a seven-star robbery wealth technique.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds very complicated.
It is very complicated. I don't think there's many one know this one. I haven't talked to my student yet.
Oh, wow.
But what they learn from me, they are doing very well already.
Yes.
So the seven-star robbery wealth technique actually can bring in wealth to the house.
Yes.
It's not to keep a thing or two, it's to create a feng shui configuration. So the difference is the New Age feng shui and the traditional feng shui.
Yeah.
And if someone very, very serious about feng shui, right? Yes. And then they should look into it, right? Someone think, maybe I buy this thing and they will bring me good luck.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what they call a treasure vase or whatever.
Yeah.
Then maybe give them some psychological help. That's the difference. Between the traditional feng shui, traditional one, and the new age one.
Okay. Yes, very, very in depth. You see, I like turtles. I've got like a little turtle around my neck. I've got a turtle around my thing. I've got my turtle in my pond.
Yeah,
So that's my good luck. That's what I think of my good little luck charms.
Right. In feng shui, turtle is actually the back of the house. We call the back of the house called the turtles.
Yeah.
And generally, turtles have a higher back, right? Like that.
Yeah.
So we want the shape of the house, the back of the house, like a mountain or a hill.
Yeah.
It's like that shape, like semi round shape, like a back of a turtle. So that's why they call a turtles. And turtles is a support. You get support from the back of the house.
Okay.
Yeah. So you like like turtles, and I guess from every direction of their life, you get support from other people too.
That's a nice thing to think. Yeah.
Yeah. So you think of that way. So it's
my
more
my support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's more the thing, you know.
But
when you're wearing a turtle, other than you think that it's a support.
Yeah.
In real feng shui, in traditional feng shui, that's not going to do anything.
That's okay. It's my little thing. I'm allowed to have a little thing.
Yes, I understand that. You know, you do need to have something to think that they're helping you. So turtles put in behind. The turtles put behind is a support.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So maybe I should put turtles in my office. I'll put some, to put more support. I've got my turtles at the front next to the window, so I'll put them at the back.
Yes, turtles at the back. Turtles are support at the back.
Back. Okay, yeah. I'll change those around.
Yes.
Edgar, do you have any offers for our listeners that you would like to tell them about?
Offer. All right. Okay. Yeah. On my website, there's a book. You know, there's a book. You know, if you're building or you want to buy a house, is some guidance. You know, what to look for. At least if you can follow the rules, follow this, and you will get a good house.
Oh, good.
So that will be for someone who is thinking to buy or to build.
Yes.
To buy or to build.
Okay.
So they can follow step by step. And if they don't want to buy the book,
yes,
I also have compiled some free ebook they can download from a website that is telling them, you know, what to avoid to when they are buying a house, what to avoid. And they want to be better, they can buy that book as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, good. Well, yeah. Thanks so much, Edgar, for helping our listeners have a better understanding of feng shui. And more than ever, it's probably a really useful time to be implementing some of the principles into your home with the issues we have with the world at the moment.
Next week, we have Josh Hommelhoff on again to talk to us about how involved we should be when we are selling our home. From my experience as a copywriter, there is a small percentage of owners who feel they are experts on everything. However, in the industry, we find the more the owners are involved, the more things go wrong. It's Murphy's Law. So we will explain what you can be involved in and what's best left to the experts. Real Estate Right is a Real Copyright production hosted by Sue Langada. We would like to thank Podbean for hosting our podcast, Premium Beat for our theme music, and Zoom for our video link. If you love this podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate us with 5 stars, and review us on your favourite podcast service. Or if you would like to ask one of our experts a question on the podcast, email your question to sue@realestateright.com.au. Thanks for listening to Real Estate Right.